I'm Christopher Springman, and you're listening to Body Language. Just when you thought it was safe to open the medicine cabinet and pop those pills that you bought over the internet at a terrific discount from Canada, India, or Asia, perhaps you should hesitate and ask yourself the question, are they for real? Or just fabulous fakes of well-known breast cancer, heart disease, or erectile dysfunction drugs? And they may be dangerous to your health, even deadly, according to our next guest, the author of Fake, spelled P-H-A-K-E, Fake, The Deadly World of Falsified and Substandard Medicines. And he is Roger Bate, a resident scholar and economist with the American Enterprise Institute. Roger, thanks for joining us today on Body Language.
It's a great pleasure to be with you.
I read your op-ed piece in the New York Times entitled Feeding a Disease with Fake Drugs. Let's discuss that as a preface to our discussion about fake drugs in general and how the public should be cautious. First, what is going on with TB or tuberculosis drugs on a worldwide scale, and how does that impact American health?
The issue of tuberculosis, I mean, this is a disease that still kills well over 1 million people a year, and the treatment course is long, many, many months, even for normal TB, not extremely drug-resistant varieties. And so consequently, it is to be able to treat a lot of people, you know, maybe 8 million people. Drugs have been made cheaper and cheaper, but unfortunately, some of those drugs are simply not very well made. And then also counterfeiters who will counterfeit any product, be it soap or the most expensive medicines, are making money by substituting products that simply won't work at all. This is dangerous for the patients. It increases their chances of dying. But it's also, at a population level, more dangerous for all of us because it builds resistance to even amongst the patient group to even well-made medicines. So it's a threat to all of us because tuberculosis kills far more people in emerging markets than it does in richer countries. But no one is completely not at risk from tuberculosis.
In fact, a significant number of people, especially in Africa, who have AIDS actually die of tuberculosis, which is an opportunistic and very often latent disease. So these threats are very real. You discuss what has become known as XDR-TB, extremely drug-resistant tuberculosis. Why has that occurred?
The main reasons that resistance is built to such extent that very few drugs work, unfortunately, for those tragic patients who have XDR-TB, it's because of poor patient compliance, as I mentioned, that it takes months and months and months, up to years for some types of TB. People skip their treatment if they start to feel better, or in particularly in an African setting, they may not be able to get access to the medicines. If it's a 12-hour walk, a 12-mile walk to get your medicines and you're not feeling very well, you might not go and get them.
That is why your physician, when prescribing a course of antibiotics, will say, now, Roger, take all the pills. Yes, you will feel better probably after a couple of days, but take the entire regimen of pills. Let's get rid of this thing. In the case of tuberculosis, people don't take the full regimen, or they cut pills in half, or they stop taking them when they feel better, which exacerbates the TB, making it XDR, extremely drug resistant.
That's absolutely correct. And I'm a Brit living in America. We are as guilty of not finishing courses of medicines, even when they're only for 2 weeks and there are no nasty side effects.
I just took meds for shingles. Believe me, I was one of the world's best patients. I put a chart on the refrigerator, gritted it out, and ticked off every pill that I took. I really wanted to get rid of that thing. You have said that the world's medicine supply is under attack. From Pakistan, where 120 patients died after taking fake heart medicines, to the U.S., where 32 patients died and hundreds were hospitalized because of contaminated steroids. This is a very, very big deal that comes home to Main Street USA, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, what is going on is that in addition to the problems of, you know, patients not finishing their course of treatment, what you in addition to have to that is doctors and patients are doing all of the right things, but then suddenly the drugs themselves don't work very well. People are making a lot of money from substituting poor ingredients instead of good ingredients. The value of this trade is probably somewhere between $10 and $70 billion a year. We don't know better than that range, which is a massive range, but hundreds of thousands of people affected, many of which will die in emerging markets, and it affects Americans and Europeans and other sophisticated markets around the world.
In fact, I visited Pfizer's Viagra site, and much of that site discussing its erectile dysfunction drug is devoted to fake and fraud. They say, for example, fake Viagra has been found to contain harmful ingredients including blue printer ink, toxic ingredients such as boric acid, floor wax, brick dust, and road paint, and that these ingredients can have dangerous interactions with other medications one may be taking. So the consequences of acquiring low-cost and very often fraudulent drugs from somewhere in the world, as I mentioned, Canada, India, or Asia, or wherever they're transshipped from, can have dire, dire consequences. And our guest is Roger Bate, a resident scholar and economist with the American Enterprise Institute and the author of Fake, P-H-A-K-E, Fake, The Deadly World of Falsified and Substandard Medicines. Roger, how can consumers protect themselves from fake, fraudulent, and substandard medicine?
Well, let's start with the bad news. The bad news is that in a scientific sense, we can never be 100% safe. If you think that there are 4 billion prescriptions filled every year in the United States, and the vast majority of that, and by that I mean well over 99% of those prescriptions will be filled with good quality medicines. We have the safest supply out there, but it's not zero risk. The things that that any patient can do is always examine the medicine you're given. See if the pills are falling to pieces. If you take a statin, for example, it'll normally be embossed with certain things on the pills. Make sure that the what is normally on your pill is on the pill this time. Pharmacists are busy people, and they'll do everything they can to make sure they're supplying the right medicine, but they make mistakes as well. So always check those things. But the critical thing that you can do, because often even experts can't tell just by visually looking at pills or packaging.
I've looked at pills and packaging, for example, on the Pfizer site. I mean, frankly, I can't tell the difference.
You really can't. And we have bought, I've done experiments, not only this TV paper, but other papers which are in the book you mentioned, that we've been buying from over the internet, and we've come across some bogus Viagra as well. So, you know, it's something that's out there. So the most important thing to do for a patient is to buy from legitimate sources. So you can buy safely over the internet. Other people will disagree with me, but I think you can buy safely over the internet. But what you must do is buy from a credentialed pharmacy.
Is there some sort of stamp or acronym people should look for on it?
Absolutely. Well, you know, again, you know, people have to realize that any individual site can lie, that it's, you know, it's like restaurants saying that they're approved by, you know, Robert Carrier or whoever it is. So you need to go to the source of the credentialing organization. The best ones that I've come across, there are two or three. There's the National Associations of the Boards of Pharmacy in the U.S., which oversees United States-based pharmacies. And then there are, although there are a lot of bogus Canadian websites, there are also some good sites in Canada overseen by the Canadian Internet Pharmacy Association, that's CIPA. And then in the United States, pharmacychecker.com. If you go to those sites, CIPA.com or pharmacychecker.com, you can see the list of maybe 50 to 60 websites that they routinely do covert buys from and check that are continuing to supply good quality medicines. So, you know, buy from those sites that they recommend. Do not just answer an email.
Roger, how can our listeners learn more about your work at the American Enterprise Institute and read more about your book, Fake, The Deadly World of Falsified and Substandard Medicines?
Well, Fake is easy to get hold of. You can download it on a Kindle right now from Amazon, or Amazon is probably your best bet. And you can go to my Scholar page at aei.org, and where most of my articles will be. And, you know, always check your medicine. That's the most important thing, but trust the source as well.
Our guest has been Roger Bate, a resident scholar and economist with the American Enterprise Institute. You can learn more about Roger Bate and the work of the Institute at their website, aei.org. Roger, thank you so much for joining us today on Body Language.